Blog Talk Radio.
City, Millennium City, and all superhero fans across the universe.
Oh, it's Monday night at 6:34 p.m. Eastern. We're broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio News Satellite at a high altitude of 5.87321 inches above sea level. I'm so excited. I'm your host, Pogo Man, and this is Paragon Radio. And despite popular beliefs, I do not go into hibernation right after the holidays. It's the first week of the new year, and we are live on the air. And I'm not alone tonight. As usual, he's here. My co-host, Supreme. He's mad. He's Viking. He's Mad Viking.
Yes, January the 3rd, where even to some locations, people are still asking, I did what? With who? Where? Will they let me back in?
Well, you know what? They should use that mantra. What happens at a New Year's Eve party should stay at a New Year's Eve party.
Are you kidding? What happens at a New Year's party goes to Facebook.
Yeah, that's true. Ah, these days, that's true. Although, if you're Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona, formerly known as woo-woo-woo, Long Island IZ, congratulations, they had a New Year's Eve wedding, and it was a who's who of wrestling at their wedding party. I kid you not. Go look it up on Instagram.
Okay.
Taya Valkyrie, John Morrison, The Miz, Maurice. I think Maurice was there. Adam Cole, baby! And Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Yes, I did the finger thing she does when she does DMD. If you know what I'm talking about, I did the thing. Yes. I did that. I did it the way she does it, DMD. You have to do it like that. You can't get sued by her. That would be funny if somebody doesn't do it like she does it. All of a sudden she came in, bitch slapped you in the back of the head. Hey! Do the finger thing. I did it. I swear. I didn't see you do it. So.
But.
It was pretty cool.
But another case of it got caught on Facebook would be AOC. She was caught in Florida. Well, she's on vacation. Now, I don't care if she's on vacation or not. But the thing
Who is this?
AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't hear. I think you said Lucy. I'm like, who?
No.
Oh, Lucy!
Now,
okay, sorry.
Like I said, she wants to go on vacation. That's no big thing for me. She's in Florida.
Right.
And,
right.
What? Of course, they have Republicans that's in charge at the moment here, so they make a comment about her boyfriend and his white legs and his white feet wearing sandals.
Yes.
And she makes the comment, like,
right.
And just because you can't date me, I'm going like, no, AOC, I lived in Brooklyn and I lived in Florida. You could be married to the richest person in the world if they got pasty white glow-in-the-dark skin and pasty white glow-in-the-dark feet. You are a target to any Floridian, Democrat, Republican,
yep.
Independent, Socialist, Communist.
Oh, hold on.
The rent is too damn high party.
hold on. One of our friends, she always wore pants.
Uh-huh.
We used to play volleyball. That's volleyball
right.
Played in a racquetball. Basically, once the ball is served, once it goes over the net, all six sides of the court are in play. The only rule
yep.
is you have to hit it over the net, and it can't touch the net. It has to be, you know, it can't touch the walls either. It's got to be – the serve has to be played like regular volleyball, right? After that,
right.
Anything's legal. Except you got to hit it. You can only hit it once. Somebody else on the team has to hit it after the, you know.
Right.
You know how volleyball, right. Except for that rule, everything's in play. It just helped us shelter volleyball. Okay? And we loved it. We loved it. Okay? She
same
wore shorts.
Same rule applied. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Same thing. We're like, holy shit. She goes, yes, this is why I always wear pants. Like, and we all make comments.
Yeah, it is.
All right, guys.
Is,
one more time.
I'm
putting my jeans back on and I'm leaving. It's like, no. We were just shocked. And then somebody was walking past going, fuck, her legs are whiter than the net. We went, hey, don't talk about her like that, bitch. It's the middle of the winter. And by bitch, it was some guy walking past. And we walked up to him like, you got something better to do? This is a gym. Go hit the weights. Go on, get to Stefan. Her boyfriend's right there. He's going to kick your ass. We made some shit up. He's a black belt. Yeah. And we made up four martial arts she's never heard of. Like, I never heard of that. Exactly. So get to Stefan and hit the brakes.
Like, so, but you know, I got it when I first moved down here. I from New York. All right, it's hot. I'll put on these shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a bad move.
Yes. I even these days, like even like the first weekend of summer, I go outside for at least half an hour just so I'm not like, oh look, my white T-shirt's darker than me. You know, just something like that. So at least when I wear a white T-shirt, it's like, okay, you can tell the difference between his skin and his shirt. You know, something like that, you know.
Yeah, so basically, in my eyes, AOC fell for the traditional Floridian trap.
Okay, you want a secret? You want to know what a good thing to do is? I swear, get Coppertone because it's an accelerator and a sunscreen. Wear that out in the sun for an hour.
No.
You'll have
not
a much
Florida.
Dark.
Not in Florida. They
no,
will
not
detect
Florida.
That.
Even no. In New York.
Okay,
wear it
in
here,
New York.
It's a sunscreen. It's a sunscreen and a darkener. I used that one summer. I went away for a week. I went to New Jersey because we used to go to the Jersey Shore at Point Pleasant Beach for a week. I came back, and my friends went, what the hell did you do? Did you get up at like 8 a.m. and like stay out in the sun till 6 with like sunscreen protection on you? They swore I was just out in the sun, and that's all. I laid in the sun at the beach all week, like with sunscreen on. I was like, no, I just used Coppertone. I was out there. My sister got so pissed at me because I brought my body. I was a bodyboarder. I was into bodyboard. I was a natural bodyboarder, by the way. One of my other friends, that's another story. He was trying to learn how to bodyboard for a year. He couldn't figure it out. Or he figured it out, so he wanted me to learn. So I spent some money on a bodyboard, went out there, and like he rode a wave. He was a natural. We couldn't
get
him out of
the
water.
Well, you got AFK over your head. But the reason why I say don't do it in Florida, there is a reason. I'll put it in a term that everyone will be discouraged for using it in Florida. You will look like Donald Trump.
Oh, my God.
Skin.
What? No. Coppertone is different. Coppertone makes you look darker, not orange. It darkens your skin.
If you do it right, yes.
Yes.
But if you don't,
yes.
You
That's
are Donald
saying.
Trump.
Don't go to Florida and do it. What you got to do is, okay, if you work on your base tan first, don't go to Florida on vacation first. This is what you got to do. You got to go to tanning booths here. You know how you get those 10 visits? Yes, put it on here first. Work on your base tan first. Then go to Florida and do it and keep using it, okay? That's why I say when they say I'm going to go work on my base tan, yes, that's what I'm referring to. I used to do these things. And tell them, give me the lowest setting. Do not say, yeah, I put on a jacket. No. And don't go in a tanning bed for like 20 minutes. Say
like
you're new to tanning.
It's like everyone wonders, how did you get the orange skin? We know why. And people in Florida, we know why.
I made the mistake of saying, first time in a tanning bed, I said, yeah, instead of 10 minutes, give me 20 minutes. I can take it. I woke up the next morning, I had red lines down my back. I felt like I had a fever. My mom went, oh, my God. My mom, manager called, goes, oh, yeah, he was about to call you, tell you he can't come in. He goes, what happened? And we were honest. I goes, how bad is it? She goes, he has bright red lines. So I had to use a sick day. She goes, oh, my God. So one of my friends who recommended this place, she goes, what? She stopped by on her lunch. She goes, let me carefully lift my shirt. She started to lift my shirt up, and the back went, ah! Oh, my God. Stop by after work with a bottle of aloe for me. He goes, here, I'm going to help you. I was like, careful. Put a drop on my back. I screamed. Not a high-pitched scream. Just like a, that's freezing. Oh, my God. Now, this was a Friday. It finally, It took until, and Monday we were closed. I had Monday off for a holiday. It took until Monday night for this to go down with that stuff. They're like, holy shit, like ever. So somebody from the tanning, she went back to the tanning place, had a talk with the manager. They called. She goes, oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to give you bonus time in the standing booth. We're putting in your records, no more tanning beds. I'm like, I don't know if I want to come back. She goes, no. We're freezing your account for 2 weeks. Like, okay, thanks. She goes, no, trust me. Come back in 2 weeks. Well, I'll be whole 2 weeks later. Everything was fine.
And
the woman
those
who did
first
the,
few
I'm
days,
sorry?
you were walking like the kid from a Christmas show. It's like, I can't move my arms down.
Yeah. No. It was weird. It was just my back was like that. Because my arm, I had a wide back. I used to work out on my back. I had a very wide. I had wide lats, let me say, when I worked out. So, and I did that before I went into the tanning thing. So, it was just, somebody, she's actually, my friend said, that's what saved you. Your lat saved you. Your wide lat saved you. Otherwise, your arms would have had it too. I was like, holy shit. I don't know why the rest of me didn't have it. I think because I was able to put stuff on the front of me and I couldn't get my back. I think if I had somebody get my back, I think I would have been safe. But I couldn't put anything on my back. That's a problem. Man.
Yeah, but in short,
anyway,
but in short, one,
yeah, anyway,
do not do the fake tanning. You will look like Donald Trump. At the same time, as AOC is finding out, no, if you come in with someone or you come as a person that glows in the dark when the sun is out, you are going to get teased. Get used to it.
Yes. If you look like Sheamus from WWE, work on your base tan. Slowly, you know. Obviously, this time of year, it's okay. Jump, Mad Viking, jump.
I'm gonna hold on. I gotta switch scenes. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. See what's going on here. Ooh, interesting. We have a Mad Jester in purple and yellow. Trying to figure out what costume he is. I want to say Dr. Destroyer. That's not Dr. Destroyer. Maybe it is. Maybe it's Dr. Destroyer. No. We have a Baxter Hopkins in a battle suit. A rabbit in a battle suit. Kinky. Alan's here. And the Tennysons are here. Mr. Nom Nom, Mini Clarence. I got to say Mini Clarence now because we got Clarence on the street. It's not the Clarence you fight. By the way, I need one more tonight, later on tonight. I got some cleaning to do around the house tonight. One more Clarence, and I get the jeweled mask and a holiday henchman, which is an elf with a machine gun. Yes, nothing better than a holiday elf with a henchman, and a holiday elf henchman with a machine gun. That's all anybody needs for a sidekick.
Well, those elves, they don't get credit. I mean, you know about the Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus, you know all the reindeer, including Rudolph, but the elves get nothing.
Yes.
What do you think that one became a dentist for?
That's right. Oh, and I'm sorry, my head was blocking. I was in the wrong position. Silver Egret is standing on top of the camera, giving me cues. Go this way, go that way. It's snowing around me because I have the winter auras on. Because it's the winter event's almost over. It's over Wednesday. Which, if everything goes according to plan, I'm having surgery Wednesday morning, and I found something out today. It's not just my shoulder. It could also be my bicep. Boy, when I have surgery, I have surgery. Because I'm wondering why, because when I had my right shoulder done, the pain was just all on my right shoulder. This time, the pain is going down my left arm. I'm going, what is going on here? Right?
For some reason, I can see this.
And somebody said,
For some reason, I can see this here. Mr. Pogo Man, good news. The operation was a success. Your arm will be fully functional within a few weeks. What's the bad news? Do you like Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
You know the character Jax.
What? Okay. DJ Jester is Bible Man. Or no, Dr. Fear. No, Bible Man.
Oh.
He's Bible,
Bible
Man.
Bible Man.
Okay. He's Bible Man. In purple and yellow.
Okay.
Well, the cover says the fiendish works with Dr. Fear, but he's Bible Man. Okay. Okay. I knew it was familiar. Okay. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Just the fact that DJ just, no, he's got to be Dr. Fear, because the fact that DJ Jester is Bible Man. No, that's Bible Man.
I'll take your word for it.
Hold on.
We just got to point out here, we're also on City Heroes in the Tiki Room. And we have a birthday.
We have a birthday party we got a birthday.
We have a birthday.
In the Tiki Room. Yes, the Tiki Room. It's so important. We have birthday parties in the Tiki Room. Wait,
happy birthday to Hell Lord Satan.
I want to play that, and I hit enter, and something weird just happened.
There he goes. I hear it now.
There we go. All right. Hell Lord Satan. We had somebody else with us. They disappeared. There you go, Hell Lord Satan. They're bringing a birthday cake out for you, singing the Tiki Room song. There you go. There you go. Oh, they're clapping, too. They're doing the clapping thing when they sing the Tiki Room song. Look at that. Now it's a birthday party.
Where's the cake?
Where's the cake?
Softy, bring the cake. Softy.
All the little tiki heads are bringing out your cake. There you go. Just go with us on this one. They're bringing it out. Look, everybody else on the other side of the galaxy, they can't, you know, they can't see it. Just go with us on this one. I think that would be great. Summon cakes of cake bringers. So, DJ Jester is... He's smirking. He's a smirking, red-eyed Bible Man.
Can I say it now? It was either during AOC or when I said
like,
Trump.
Now he looks like... No, now he's good Lord. Now he's Doomsday and he's grown. Alan's just playing with his yo-yo on the table. Totally oblivious.
Alright, well, let's get to it here. We got, let's start with the updates. And I went to look at Ship of Heroes and Chrome. I will tell you exactly how I see it when I type it in. Chrome came up with this. Your connection is not private. Attackers might be trying to steal your information from shipofheroes.com. Passwords, other or credit cards. So in other words, Ship of Heroes just got sunk.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I looked up City of Titans. We have a New Year's message from Dr. Tyke. Or Dr. Tyche. We're looking back at 2021, a New Year's message. Happy New Year's from all of us at City of Titans. Now, supposedly, this was written on 12/31, but it was a few days ago. So, this message from Nathaniel, Dr. Tyke down. Missing World's Media Company President. Ooh, how nice. Fellow Titans, we have been on a long road together. Yeah, no kidding. Where's Rain for this one? Sorry. From the Kickstarter through our Second Chance campaign to the present day with many highs and lows along the way, but always striving to move forward together and reach our goal of creating the world we envisioned in City of Titans. As we approach the new year, we here at Missing Worlds Media are so excited for this moment. As we see many, many, many reasons, reasons for optimism in the road ahead in 2022. We are grateful to our community who have patiently waited for 9 years as we have worked all volunteer to bring the vision of Titan City to life. Before midnight on New Year's Eve, we want to take a last a few last minutes of 2021 to recount with you some of the major milestones we have reached this year of 2021 that gave us so many reasons for excitement about what's to come. Well, they're recounting 2021, so I got to edit.
Yeah, I know. It's just that I'm thinking of Commandant Lassard from Police Academy. We had many memories.
When he goes many, I got to throw the – that's where I'm getting it from. I go many, many, and I got to throw the third one in because he always said many, many, many. That's why I threw the third one in. Downtown and Old Bradford districts. In January, our team prepared a video showcasing the dynamic visual environment of our newly built neighborhoods, the Downtown and the Old Bradford districts. This video reinvigorated imagination for many, many, many. It's only one many. Sorry, I got carried away. Many of us about what our city will look like for players. Almost a year later, it's still very exciting to rewatch. You can watch the video if you click the link. All right. Hey. What are you doing? It's not the Police Academy crap. Mac OS became available for players in March. A few weeks after I came back from being sick with COVID. In March. Wait a minute. I'll do a count for January. I wasn't here until mid-February because I had COVID in December. Great. Woo, what a year I had. And by the way, guys, well, the reason I'm happy is because this is the first time in years. It's the first week of January. We're doing a fucking show. So, woo-hoo. Hang on. See, the rumors are false. I don't hibernate in the winter.
You know what? You know we need to break out. You know where we have
what?
To break out. Something special.
Champagne.
Yes.
I don't know what. No. I'm still reading, but go ahead.
I was trying to cue you for the bit of the bubbly.
Oh, okay. Yes, when I said that. Yes, I was right. Yes,
oh,
we need
a little bit of the bubbly.
There we go.
A little bit of the bubbly all around. If I keep doing this.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Oh, these run before the end of the show. That'd be fabulous. Okay, wait a minute. I lost it. Oh, there it is. Hold on. Okay, everyone has a little bit of the bubbly all around. In 2021, we finished every landmark and mogul building for the game located in Alexandria. Oh, damn it. I got to talk to him about that. Alexandria, Old Bradford, and the downtown districts. We shared a description of almost all these completed structures here. And that's the April roundup. Travel powers. We are really driving ahead with progress on travel powers, as we showed with several preview video clips in our May update. That was just the start, and we've made significant progress. He said significant process since then. Early May update. That's the early May update. All right. Housing and bases. We haven't talked about housing and bases in a while, but with so much of the city under construction, we thought it was time to give everyone an update on how we see housing and bases fitting within the architecture under construction in Titan City. And that was your late May update. Ah, I remember this one. Sounds of Titan City. I remember this one. This is like a whole soundtrack. One of the most exciting areas of progress for the game in 2021 was all the extensive work done on sound for the game. It should be sounds for the sound for the game.
Drinking game has returned. The drinking game has returned.
Everybody all right,
I got an AFK over
three
you.
Bubblies. All right, but that's three little bits of the bubbly. I don't have to play it, do I? Whee. There we go. Three little bits of the bubbly for everybody. I don't got to play it. Was I? Update showcasing many of the original compositions that have been prepared for the game environments and to support character factions with an audio sensibility. You can listen to the compositions here at part one of the June update and part two of the July updates. Ah, and then Flight was now available to players in July. Players got to try out flying in the game for the first time. This was another moment, I remember this one too, that we believe reinvigorated the imagination of our community and what will be possible with City of Titans. Flight feels amazing in the game. If you haven't tried it yet, Learn more about how to access the game and try it here with our late July update. That was, if you remember, the part two July update of the Sounds of Titan City and the late July update of Bat Flying was sandwiched between Dawn Con 7. Engineering, gameplay, city building, and props overviews. We conducted a series of interviews with our developers. I remember reading those this year on various aspects of the game that are under construction. We are very proud, very proud of the work being done. And hope you had a chance to read each of these updates. I read them all. Engineering Power Spotlight was the September update. Gameplay Spotlight was the late September update. The City Building Spotlight was the October update. And Props Spotlight and Visualization was the Halloween update. Yes. Ah, Hijinx Comic. Our creative crew at the Hijinx Comic are continuing to turn out a world of artwork in this community-driven effort where followers receive monthly art and story episodes following the antics of a crazy cast of characters. You can learn more about that here at the October Roundup. Ah, yes, yes, yes. And then this one, Combat. We closed 2021 with an update on Combat that showed one completed power set that demonstrates what will be coming with many power sets. Many, many power sets that are on their way.
Many,
players,
many.
50, Thank you, Lord. As we plan to make testing available to players in the first quarter of 2022. This update was meant to be a peek at things to come, with the real exciting material and powers coming to players to try out very soon. You can find out more about Combat here at the December video and December updates. And we hope you agree that a lot was accomplished in 2021. We understand and empathize with the weight for building this game, as it's been a long process for us too. But those of us who have been here since the beginning are still here to tell you we are excited about the game. We aren't going anywhere. And we can't wait to bring this world to life with you as we build forward in 2022. We are so grateful to you, our community, who remain with us at the center of it all. We thank you for sticking with us. And in our next update, we will share much more about our plans for 2022. Happy New Year to you
and
all.
And many, many of them.
Signed, that's right. That's a wrap for 2021. We are so happy you all share the journey with us. Okay, and in our next update, we'll be discussing exciting plans for what's coming next for the game in 2022. Happy New Year, everyone. He says it again. And also, there is a really cool picture of heroes of City of Titans. And then underneath is it's some of the Missing Worlds media developers that were rendered in this art. And first on top, it's the picture of them all. And underneath, they're all blacked out with numbers over them. And underneath, it's the list of who they all are. But I knew who they are because I have it in front of me, so I could look it all up. And that will be, and then I'll post this one later tonight. Sometime tonight or tomorrow, it will go up on the Paragon Radio Facebook page. Yes, you go to facebook.com/Paragon Radio.
With many,
with many, many other updates. Speaking of which, we have here from, you know, Superhero Hype, where I usually get my news stories from. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary. So happy anniversary to Superhero Hype. So, to start off with, Superhero Hype has their top superhero, sci-fi, and fantasy TV series of 2021. So, the end of the year has arrived, and it's time to share Superhero Hype's top superhero, sci-fi, and fantasy TV series of 2021. Thanks to the various streaming services, we've had no We had no shortage of options this year. New year, need a new mouth. Holy cow. That's it. Not every show was equal to the others. And we left a lot of high-profile series off of this list simply because they didn't deserve to be here. Yeah, you don't deserve it. You're not good enough. Man. It's a matter of opinion, but it's our opinion. And you'll get your chance to share your picks, too. But first, it's our turn. So, honorable mentions according to Superhero Hype. The Book of Boba Fett. Only an okay start for the most anticipated TV series of the year. However, it needs more than one episode to earn a place among the year's best. I agree. The first episode was just meh. You know, like The Mandalorian, that first episode was like, holy shit, I can't wait for episode two. Episode one of Boba Fett, I was like, yeah, you're going to build on this? A lot of people were just really disappointed with episode one. It was like, all right, I'll give you episode two, but come on, man. Come on. It's like, all right, is this just filler for The Mandalorian season three? You know what I mean? Like, come on. You've given me two kick-ass seasons of The Mandalorian. This is filler for season three of The Mandalorian, and this is episode one? I mean, hold on. I got to take a drink here.
And I see on City of Heroes, Jester goes, going to have to add Marvel MMO to your MMO update list, especially since they're using City of Heroes as inspiration for the game.
Well, I would, except one thing. I have no intentions of playing it. Oh! Did I just say that?
I'm guessing you still have a Jack Emmert hate.
Hold on. Does anybody remember when Marvel tried to sue City of Heroes? Does anybody remember the outcome of that?
Yep.
City of Heroes won that lawsuit. Let me say that again. Marvel sued City of Heroes. City of Heroes won. For a year, Marvel had to put a City of Heroes ad in all their comic books for free. So, Marvel 0, City of Heroes 1, as in the number 1, because we beat Marvel. Yes, that City of Heroes, that's what got me pissed about NCSoft closing the game. It's like, it was this little MMO, beat the shit out of the Marvel Empire. And the lawsuit started.
This was before Disney. We should point that out. They did not have the Disney lawyers.
Right, but guess what? It was our own damn fault. So I don't care. We still won the lawsuit. It was, and I say we because we won the lawsuit, man. All right. So somebody give me a link to the Marvel MMO. Is it running? Is there anything to report yet?
They sued Cryptic.
Is it really? Right. DJ just said they sued Cryptic, and then they asked Cryptic to make them a game. Then backed out, which allowed it to become champions. Right. No, they asked Cryptic to make them a game. Then no, you got it wrong, Jester. They asked Cryptic to make them a game. Then sued Cryptic. Wait. Hold it. They asked Cryptic to make them a game. Then backed out, which allowed it to become champions. Then they sued Cryptic. That's the order.
Yeah,
the
they
sued
thing
is the third
thing. And then they, you know, before all that, they sued City of Heroes just because the people can make likenesses of the Marvel characters. I remember that one specifically.
Right.
How
so the sued Cryptic
make a
is the third
look
thing.
Like Wolverine.
No, it was more like how dare Marvel make a character look like Wolverine. That's what killed them. It's the judge said, so you went in and made a character that looked like your own character that is now possession of City of Heroes. And you're trying to sue them. Yeah, okay. That's going to work. That's what was beautiful about it. It's like,
oh, we have the website right there, the MarvelUniverseOnline.com.
You had to do it.
Well, since Ship of Heroes seems to be, goddamn, very sensitive new keyboard.
Why are you looking for a team? Why are you looking? We're hosting a show. Are you so bored you want to go, geez,
no,
Louise,
what's
man.
No, what? I got a new keyboard and the buttons are sensitive as hell.
Uh-huh. Fine, yeah, fine, whatever.
says, Ship of Heroes seems to have sunk.
Wait, that's okay. I went to put in the thing for Marvel, and it just came up with a totally different...
I got it, the Marvel Universe Online, okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to put it in.
Oh, we have a video, too. A Living City World.
No, but I just want to put that in, and it just gave me a totally different link. God damn it! Just give me that thing from you. Yeah, I put that. What is going on here? Let's try this again. No, it keeps, every time I go to do it, somebody keeps typing shit, and it keeps going to your thing that you put. Okay, let me see if I got this. I think I got it. God damn it, it's the link. Just read me the link.
Marvel
Universe Online?
Yeah, the MarvelUniverseOnline.com, all one word.
Thank you. I'm just typing it in. I could have been there if I did that to begin with. There,
not
I'm there.
Just
there,
the
I'm there.
A simulated struggle of good versus evil. Hero
I got
or
Page
villain.
Under maintenance.
I
got
I
Page
got
under maintenance.
Working. Mine's working.
Marvel Universe Online. Wait, Marvel
the
Universe Online.
Universe.
Doc.
The
oh,
Marvel
the
Universe.
Marvel.
Yes.
No wonder. All right, hold on. The moment I'm typing. The Marvel Universe Online.com. Ooh, there we go. All right, we got something here. All right, okay, you know what's funny? I went to New York Comic Con 2019, and they were showing me and my brother-in-law this game, right, where you choose a faction, you're supposed to play, and blah, 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 get these missions, right? Never came out yet. Still hasn't come out yet. All right, the Marvel Universe Online. I see Captain America's shield, the shield logo, I think Dr. Doom, Hydra, the X-Men X, the Eye of Agamotto, Fantastic Four, the Avengers. Game World. City of Marvels, World of Marvels, Marvel Cosmos, Trials, Allure, the official handbook, gameplay, oh good lord. I can make it. See, I don't know if I want to make my own character, because then you know it becomes there. Even if you have this character for other games, it automatically becomes theirs.
Oh, it becomes. Oh,
you know.
Oh, you just reminded me of something. Must jump off the subject for a second.
Okay.
We all know at New Year's, there's a new stuff that becomes public domain.
Oh yes.
Yes. And the big one that I saw on that list, this is a race between the original owners and Disney, because it's Winnie the Pooh. All the stories of the original A.A. Mills story of Winnie the Pooh and the Christopher Robin, all of them, they became public domain. So I'm wondering, I haven't even checked yet. Did anyone scoop up Winnie the Pooh today, the first day when the office is open?
I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to say anything. He's mine, all mine. I'm a billionaire. I don't want to say shit. I'm out of here. Screw all you guys. Come on, Disney, talk to me. Make me a billionaire. I wish. Oh, I wish.
Yeah, but like I said, because someone pointed it out with the public domain. Once a book comes public domain, Disney gets a new movie.
Yeah.
Well, they already got Winnie the Pooh. They've just been having to give rights to the Milnes family. They don't have to do that anymore. It all depends on who is faster, the family or the corporation. We're about to find that answer up. We have a roaming reporter.
I know. Mom, she knows. Hold on a second. I'm gonna hold on. Let me. I'm checking. I'm looking. I'm looking this up now. Hold on a minute.
All right. So I'm gonna see. Did Disney scoop up Winnie the Pooh? Because if they did, you know what happened. Also, The Sun Also Rises by Hemingway. Bambi's also on the list. Wait a minute.
Mine. I own Bambi, too. I own Bambi now, too. I put in four.
Wait
two.
A minute.
No,
wait,
okay. Hold on. This is what I looked up. Okay, it says here, the Walt Disney Company, Winnie the Pooh franchise. Created by A.A. Milne, okay, original work, Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Tree, 1966. Owner, the Walt Disney Company. Years, 1966 to present. So I'm going to Wikipedia because I'm sure they had things in place. So.
Also, music by John Philip Sousa. So now I'm seeing Monty Python guaranteeing the Liberty March. The Liberty Bell March.
Because I'm joking around about this, but come on. If I were to put a bid in for Winnie the Pooh, right?
Right.
I don't think it's a maritime. I think it's a matter of who can afford what. No matter how much money I put in for Winnie the Pooh, Disney would look at me and go, bitch, please. Let me get my pocket. Disney would be like, let me get my pocket change out. Go home, kid. Yeah, because you know what? No matter how old I am, no matter how much money I had, they would be like, bitch. Yeah.
Here, hold my Disney approved beer.
Yeah. Mickey Mouse, yeah, Mickey Mouse go, doo, 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 doo. I'm sorry, I'm just bringing my wheelbarrow in. Doo, 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 doo. And somehow this wheelbarrow would, like, dump out, like, gold more than, like, 118 wheels could hold. And my jaw would hit the floor, all of a sudden go into cartoon mode. Me, the guy in the office, everybody else in the office, our jaws would drop, our eyes would turn to, like, giant, like, I don't know what you want to call them. You know, be like, ah, I don't know who wants to count this. Hee, 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 hee. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Where do I sign? Here, sir.
Now, in one of the articles that the interesting thing is, in 2024, Mickey Mouse becomes public domain.
Here's the deal. You know, before then, they're gonna have paperwork signed. Hold on. They've got attorneys. They're gonna have the paperwork done. So, because this is what you could do. If you know your work is going to go public domain at that point, you can already have paperwork in, paperwork. You could have everything done already. So even though it says your stuff is going to be public domain at this time, no. Here, it automatically, even though it's supposed to be public domain at this date, no. It's going to auto-loop back to me at this time so no one can take it from you. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. So,
yeah, because you know Disney's going like, in 2 years, Mickey is making sure right now. We are having contingency plans.
Because their attorney, this is why Disney attorneys are very good. They are constantly checking. They have a whole department checking every one of their characters with a countdown clock next to each one. I guarantee you there's a special building for that. Oh, look at that. Mickey's up in 2 years. Let's file that right now. Oh, look, he's ours for another 100 years. Okay, we don't have to worry about that. Next, Minnie. Another 3 years. Yeah, let's take care of that.
Actually, Pete is the next one because he also was in Steamboat Willie. Pete.
Who was? Pete.
Pete.
Of course. Who was Pete? Okay, let's just say I never saw Steamboat Willie.
Do you remember the Goof? You remember the Goof Goofy movie and Goofy cartoons on TV? Store neighbor, the big guy, the big cat looking guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Pete.
Okay. Well, we can't let Pete go.
The original Disney villain. Well, we won't say villain. We'll say antagonist.
Oh. Yes, antagonist. Yes. Because what's funny is, yeah, I know the big guy. He's like the big guy, heavy set guy. My nephew has been watching Mickey Mouse things on Disney since he was 6 months old. And I watched one with him. It was a car race. And Pete's in it as a lazy because he's got this car. And I was like, isn't he the bad guy? He goes, no, no, he's their friend. And he's like an antagonist type. So it's not really. Wait, wait, wait. Back in 2009, Disney wins Winnie the Pooh copyright case. All right, so it says here, back in 2009, Walt Disney has won the legal battle over royalty rights to the cartoon character Winnie the Pooh, ending an 18-year feud. So after an 18-year feud, the fate of a very important bear has been settled. The Walt Disney Corp has fought off a challenge to its ownership of the rights to Winnie the Pooh and his lucrative fellow characters in 100 Acre Wood. A judge in L.A. has struck out a claim against Disney lodged by the family Steven Schlesinger, a comic book pioneer who bought the copyright to Pooh in 1930 from the Bears British creator A.A. Milne. After Schlesinger's death in 1953, his widow licensed the rights of Disney in return for regular royalties. But the family sued in 1991, claiming to have been shortchanged by Disney. The Schlesingers demanded damages of £2 billion.
Well, they are British, yeah.
I know. I'm just reading. Well, no, I'm sorry. It's 1.25 British pounds, you know, from 2 billion American dollars. Wow, that's the – wow. Okay. Exploiting Pooh – okay, this sentence is going to be very weird to read. Exploiting Pooh is a highly profitable business. I had no idea. Okay. Disney
all right,
features
all right,
Pooh.
New York, get in there and entertain the people. But I don't want. I said move.
And hold on. Disney, wait. Hold on. This just proves something. Disney has featured Pooh in movies, books, DVDs, games, and even as a computer screen saver. Yep. Disney's been featuring shit for years. The self-described bear of very little brain is one of the most valuable franchises in the Disney stable. The Schlesingers had accused Disney of breach of contract, alleging that the Californian media conglomerate failed to disclose accurate royalty figures for sales of merchandise and that Pooh revenue was intermingled with earnings from characters such as Mickey Mouse. But Judge Florence Marie Cooper found misconduct on the part of the Schlesinger estate, which at one point during the lengthy dispute hired a private detective who was accused of going through rubbish bins at Disney's headquarters in the hope of obtaining documents. What are you supposed to do? Steven Schlesinger, Inc. transferred all of its rights in the Pooh works to Disney and may not now claim infringement. Wait, hold on. If they're supposed to royalties, right?
Right.
They may not now claim infringement of any retained rights. Yes,
well,
they can.
Disney can still do the Pooh movies. But the Pooh characters cannot really interact with the rest of the Disney characters. Has to be in their own separate unit. If they pick up the public domain rights, then, Mickey, you'll be the first one to see Mickey and Winnie's travel adventure.
Right. I think that's what it was.
You know, let's team up Goofy with Tigger, Rabbit with Donald Duck. You just had a twitch in your eye, didn't you?
What? Wait, what was that? Say that. I got distracted here. I was reading something.
You team up Goofy with Tigger, or Donald Duck teams up with Rabbit.
No, please, no. No, keep the 100 acre wood.
And now there's the eye twitch.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, if I may, can I get back to the story I was reading?
Oh, yeah, sure, sorry.
Okay, so as we mentioned, honorable mention, we were reading the superhero hypes, top superheroes. Basically, I'm going to say Disney's going to own them, but with limitation. They're going to fucking own them. Let's just face it. Disney's going to own it. By the time your kids have kids of their own, folks, if you're out there, Disney's going to fucking own everything, okay? I'm going to wait one day to go to the beach down the block, and there's going to be a billboard that your beach is now owned by Disney, okay? Like I said, one day Disney is going to own DC and Marvel, and you're going to see shit like the new Teen Titans. Remember, like, there was a dream comic book I have, X-Men. It was called X-Men vs. Teen Titans, but they teamed up at the end, okay?
Right.
That's really going to become a regular thing. The Justice League and the Avengers are going to become one thing. The DC and the Marvel Universe are going to become one, okay? DC, Marvel, it's not going to be, like, I can't wait for, you know, like, when are the X-Men going to be part of the MCU? No. It's going to be the DC Universe and the Marvel Universe are going to be one, okay? Mark my words. Maybe 10 years from now, somehow Disney is going to wind up owning. Disney is going to merge with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers will merge with Disney somehow. And you will see Batman fighting alongside Captain America.
I got a little curious. So I'm looking for the Bugs Bunny gang and see if they hit public domain. The first one would be Porky Pig and Daffy Duck.
Okay. All right. You look that up. Let me do it. All right. So the first honorable mention for the top superhero sci-fi and fantasy TV series 21 was Book of Boba Fett, only because only one episode. Next honorable mention, though, surprised me. It was Loki. Tom Hiddleston is always fun as Loki, but the show seemed to downplay his mischievous persona. Regardless, Sylvie and quote-unquote He Who Remains will likely be major additions to the MCU. Number 10 was Superman and Lois. Tyra Hoechlin has gotten a lot of flack for his perceived lack of size compared to previous Superman. However, he truly embodies the heart of Clark Kent / Kal-El in Superman and Lois. Hoechlin's performance in the series outshines his earlier guest appearances in the Arrowverse. The show has given Hoechlin the chance to carve out his own place in the Superman pantheon. And when it's focused on Clark or Lois Lane, played by Elizabeth Tulloch, it's fantastic. Their CW-style teenage sons are less engaging, but the overall quality of Superman and Lois outshines everything else on the CW. Not quite sure about that, and I would have put Loki above that one. Now, this one I don't agree with at all. Number 9, they put the Wheel of Time. And I'm going to say this. For Season 1, there were 59 differences between Season 1, which is based on Book 1 of the Wheel of Time, called The Eye of the World. 59 differences between Season 1 and Book 1. In the last episode, there are some huge, major differences where I sat there going, huh? What? So, Wheel of Time won't be the next Game of Thrones, no. Nor does it recapture the serious tone that made GOT stand out from the pack. And it's also hard to imagine the cast of the series moving on to greater stardom like GOT's cast has. Regardless, The Wheel of Time shows a lot of promise. And it's based on Robert Jordan's legendary epic. The first season earnestly depicted the scale of Jordan's story while building up the world around it. Although, it may not be a good sign that the supporting characters like Alain Min and Dragoran, played by Daniel Henley, and Nynaeve Almira, Sil Robbins, are more compelling than the leads, Randall Thor, played by Joshua Stradowski, and Egwene Alvear, played by Madeline Madden. Despite some shortcomings, it was still appointment TV for us, and we couldn't miss an episode. Number 8, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Of this year's Marvel series, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier had the best action and a great buddy dynamic between Sam Wilson, Anthony Mackie, and Bucky Barnes, Sebastian Stan. It also dived into some uncomfortable chapters in Marvel's past and present, especially when Super Soldier Isaiah Bradley, played by Carl Lumbly, shares the shameful way that he was treated by the government. However, the show stumbled in the final episode by relying on an awkwardly written speech that Sam had to deliver to justify his decision. Sorry, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it yet. to be the new Captain America. What? He's the new Captain America? After all that, I'm shocked. I saw it already. It came out like last year. At least the new Cap costume looks great. Yeah, you know what? He looks fucking awesome. The new costume he wears is fucking awesome. It's spot on. It's great. Can't wait to see him in the new Avengers movie, whenever that comes out. Holy shit, it's awesome. 7, Hawkeye. Sorry, I'm just looking over quick before there's any spoilers. Okay. Hawkeye's number 7. Did something that none of the Marvel movies could and made Jeremy Renner's Clint Barton into an interesting leading man. Wow, that's a burn. But Howie Steinfeld, Kate Bishop stole the show with her amusing personality and her great chemistry with Renner's Clint. Yes. The series did have some issues
DC.
When it tried to... Where?
On City of Heroes.
You had one job to do.
Hey, I almost
lost
jump? It myself.
You can tell
almost...
me to jump. Oh, you were looking at God
yeah.
damn it. You had one job to tell me to jump. You just had
well,
to
yeah, I was
lo-
yeah,
jump.
Well, I was looking. I was thinking, sure, and it looks like Warner Brothers has already been working and protecting, because they already protected Porky, Daffy, Bugs, even Bosco and Private Snafu if they wanted to bring him back.
Okay. Now DJ Jester looks like, in Champions Online, he now looks like the Juggernaut.
I'm the Jesternaut.
I know, right? I think he used some of the Armadillo. Is that the Armadillo helmet?
I'll take your word for it.
I'm just wondering. Okay. I'm reading. That's why it's hard for me to pay attention to all the stuff. Let's get back to this. The series did have some issues when it tried to reconcile the comedic tone of Matt Fraction and David Aja, Hawkeye Comics with the MCU's Family Man Avenger. But strong supporting turns by Florence Pugh, Alacqua Cox, and returning Vincent D'Onofrio made this Marvel event of the winter. Ah, number 6, What If? Okay. As the first MCU animated series, What If had a lot to live up to. While the animation style takes some getting used to, What If also opened the door for some incredible or alternate reality takes. The Doctor Strange episode was among the darkest chapters in MCU history, while the T'Challa/Star Wars episode was a fitting posthumous tribute to the late Chadwick Boseman. Agreed. Very few seem to have liked the Party Thor episode. That was all right. But the last two episodes gave What If a great finale. The Guardians of the Multiverse are a team we'll never see in live action, but it's inevitable that the Watcher will be back outside of the series, and possibly the Supreme Strange as well. Okay, number 5. I still haven't watched this yet, and I heard season 2 is out already. The Witcher. Right now, the only fantasy series worthy of the next Game of Thrones status is The Witcher. Sapkowski's fantasy novels are lavishly realized on the show, and Henry Cavill's Geralt of Rivia had a chance to show off more of his personality this year. Unlike the first season split and sometimes confusing timeline, season 2's streamlined approach kept Geralt and Ciri, played by Freya Allen, together. Yennefer, as I say it, Anya, Chilatra also had a satisfying story this season even, though she spent most of her time alone. There may be a long wait until season 3, but this is Netflix's best genre show. Number 4 is Young Justice Phantoms. I still have to watch the last few episodes. Let's see. After 4 seasons, Young Justice Phantoms finally put the spotlight back on the original team. Consequently, the stories have been richer and more rewarding as the now adult heroes move on with their lives. While the Mars story got off to a slow start, it has had legitimate dramatic impact on everything that came after it. Subsequently, Artemis wrestled with both her grief and her desire to pull her sister Jade out of darkness. The third arc brought Santana to the forefront and resolved the lingering story from season 1. Additionally, the mid-season finale found a way to make a superhero's name into a chilling cliffhanger for the rest of the season. Okay, so we're only at mid-season, so it's only a few episodes. Number 3, One of my favorites, WandaVision. Why did WandaVision outshine all the other Marvel series this year? Well, it's because the grief of Wanda Maximoff, played by Elizabeth Olsen, felt all too real, especially after the first year of the pandemic. Wanda's outpouring of sorrow in her personal TV wasteland, where Vision, Paul Bettany, was still alive. However, Vision couldn't simply accept his new reality at face value. A few familiar characters helped ground the scenes outside of Westview, but the emergence of the villain, the debut of White Vision, and Wanda's transformation into the Scarlet Witch made the show the one to watch. There were so many people watching it at midnight that it caused Disney Plus to crash. Now, that's good television. And I wish they do. I really wish they do a second season. But I hear that the Scarlet Witch is going to be in the Doctor Strange movie, the Multiverse of Madness.
Yep.
Yes. Number two is a series I really got to catch up on. The Expanse. Among sci-fi series, The Expanse is in a class all by itself. The show is never goofy or silly, and it feels like a more believable future for humanity than anything Star Trek has ever done. The only downside of The Expanse's final season is that it may be too short. There doesn't seem to be enough time to deal with the war in the belt and the emerging alien threat beyond the ring. Okay. The scale of this show is impressive, and it keeps growing. Yet, it's the crew of the Rocinante. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm screwing it up. I know it. James Holden, played by Stephen Strait. Naomi Nagata, played by Dominique Tipper. Amos Burton, played by Wes Chatham. Clarissa Mao, played by Nadine Nicole. And their allies that make this a series worth saving. Six seasons just isn't enough. Take it to Paramount. Ah, and a number one series. Invincible.
Wow.
It's a good thing that Invincible was adapted as an animated series instead being made as a live-action show. I agree. That was the only way to truly tap into the magic of Robert Kirkman, Corey Walker, and Ryan Otley's comic book series. On the surface, this is just a coming-of-age story for Mark Grayson, played by voiced by Steven Yeun, as he comes into his powers and becomes the hero known as Invincible. However, the darker undercurrent of the show belongs to Mark's father, Omni-Man, voiced by J.K. Simmons. Evil Superman tropes are all too common now, but Omni-Man takes it to new levels of brutality and inhumanity. The season's finale's battle between father and son is impossible to forget, and easily the most horrifying and memorable clash of 2021. This is the comic book show to beat, and nothing else comes close.
For some reason, it popped into my head. They actually had a Spider-Man Invincible team-up. And, you know,
really?
Once you go, they actually had a Spider-Man Invincible team-up. And, you know, you got the introduction, so who are you? I'm Invincible. Yep. And, so what's your name? Spider-Man. Really? Spider-Man? Okay. And later on in the comic, they get to meet the Avengers. So, guess who's who? As he names them all. Okay, so if the naming goes with everyone here, we have, let me get this right. We got Shield Man.
Hammer Man.
Claw Man.
Green Man.
Claw Man. No, we got Claw Man.
Wolverine.
Red Woman. Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch.
Tin Man. That was Iron Man.
Right.
Goldilocks.
Let me guess next time. that's Thor. That's Thor.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
I like Hammerman better. Wait, you have Mjolnir with him?
I'm trying to remember. There was a couple of more. It'll come to me.
Jolly Green Giant for the Hulk?
No, Green Girl.
Oh, She-Hulk. Okay.
She-Hulk.
That's funny.
And, of course, there's Spider-Man going, guys, Spider-Man, come here now. Uh-huh. When Captain America goes, come here now. You are in trouble.
You go.
Yeah.
Ooh, you better go when he calls you. Okay. We did some updates. It's 7:41. I've entered the vault.
Oh, here we go again.
At, I am out to die. Oh, you love when we do this. I am unlocked. Yes, I want you to. I'm unlocking. Yes, we have to lock it because, you know, somebody's going to try and steal the pages out of this thing. The voluminous tome. Voluminous tome. The big book. Ladies and gentlemen, through the history of time, there have been most noteworthy superheroes. The ones we've just mentioned, perchance. But then there have been some half-baked heroes from comic book history. Where we sit there and go, what the bleep are you thinking? Seriously? Yes. And they form the League of Regrettable Superheroes. Our first entry is catchphrase. There's no doubt about it. I am radioactive. And there's a dash between radio and active. He was created by Ken Carson and Jerry Robinson. His atomic number is 0. He debuted in Atom Man number 1 in Spark, February 1946. He is Atom Man, and it's spelled A-T-O-M-A-N. So it's Atom Man.
Oh, boy.
Not Atom Man, like Atom Space
yep.
Man or Atom Death Man. It's Atom Man. It's supposed to be Atom Man. And issue number 1 was a 52-page magazine for 10. Actually, issue number 2 is a 52-page magazine for 10 cents. It was Atom Man. That's what I'm saying because that's how it's spelled. Atom Man and the Vanishing Vandals, plus other features. Ooh. So, even in the relatively innocent golden age of comics, superheroes were no strangers to the peculiar, I can't even talk, and unlikely benefits of prolonged exposure to radioactivity, radium, uranium, and general, quote-unquote, atomic power, found its way into no small number of ray beams, serums, and, quote-unquote, atomic belts. I don't know where you find an atomic belt, but I would stay away from the atomic belt store. Granting recipients tremendous power in some vague, scientific-sounding way. Although the science is extremely shaky, Atom Man may have been the first superhero whose atomic-inspired powers had some basis in reality. At least his origin, as recounted in the first issue of his eponymous series, begins with a refresher course on the history of atomic power, complete with cameos from scientific celebrities. If Atomon's origin isn't the first in comics that directly references Albert Einstein, it's certainly the only one that makes mention of Nobel snubbed physicist Lise Meitner. Oh, well, you know, when it mentions Lise Meitner, however you say his name, then, you know, it's got to be a good comic. Exactly, that person. If it mentions them, you know, especially a Nobel snub physicist. Come on now. Our hero, mentioned in the same captioned breath as Einstein and Meitner, Barry Dale, who works at, oh, of all places, the Atomic Institute, a foundation dedicated to researching the constructive use of atomic energy. Barry is tricked into betraying the Institute by a racketeer and would-be atomic energy tycoon named Mr. Twist. When Twist's thugs shove him off a balcony to his apparent
AFK.
Death, Barry handily survives. What?
Oh. AFK.
Okay.
There we go.
I hit it. Thank you. Barry handily survives the fall and realizes that he's in possession of. Amazing. I wish I really had an echo machine here for this one. Amazing. Atomic powers. In addition to the boilerplate super abilities of flight, super speed, and atomic strength. Ominously, Barry describes this as the ability to wipe out entire cities. He gains atomic vision, the power to explode atoms, and the capacity to generate tremendous heat. Thanks to his training and the scientific method, Barry concludes that long and repeated exposure to radiation has caused what he refers to as an atomic explosion inside of me. He equates the phenomena with Marie Curie's discovery that prolonged exposure to radium had made her body radioactive. Although, to be accurate, no one ever saw Curie flying around in an orange bodysuit. Yes, his bodysuit is yellow. I got to give credit, though. It's something one of us would make in City of Heroes or Champions Online. I can't complain about it. The costume is okay. I got to give credit. The costume is cool. All right. He's got a domino mask on. So outside of that, you know, it's something one of us would make. So it's just the powers he has. He's donning a homemade costume to self-christen Automon, upsets Twist Atomic Applecart, saves his colleague, Zelda James, expert laboratory technician, from a face full of acid, and generally gives Superman a run for the money in the super stunts department. Automon is racing explosions, catching acid in his bare hands, and slapping planes. He's slapping planes out of the sky? I'll save this plane. Slap.
What the hell?
Oh, man. I really wish there was links that when they put this book out, they would have put these comics online to look at. Because I want to see this guy's pop a plane out of the sky. I'm sorry. I'll say the day. Slap!
This is the people at JFK Airport. Those expecting flight 347 coming from Los Angeles, there's been a bit of a delay. Well, we will give you more news as it comes.
Okay, wait. But Automon possesses a short half-life for the self-described guardian of a new age of peace, security, and happiness for all people. Managed to get to only a second issue before publisher Spark closed its doors. Oh, no. It only lasted 2 issues. But
no,
at least
of course.
Two was 50 pages. Oh, man.
Can you imagine being the controller? Okay. JFK is going like, he just slapped another plane. Oh, come on. That's it.
Wait a minute. That was supposed to go to LaGuardia. Oh, he's slapping planes from airport to airport now. This is bullshit. Hold on. Okay. I don't. We did. Wait. We didn't do this one. Hold on. I'm going to the Silver Age now, and I swear we didn't do this one. We did Red B. Did we ever do B Man? No. All right. We got to do B Man. No. We did Red B. We didn't do B Man.
Oh yeah.
Four of us have Red. All right. So we're gonna do B Man. We double dare you to resist the attacking bees. Me. I don't know why I gotta use that voice. This was created by Otto Binder and Bill Draught. Debuted in Double Dare Adventures #1 of Harvey Comics in December 1966.
We double dare you to make this hero. We double dog dare you.
I know. I double dare somebody when I'm done to make this character and find me in game. And then I'll go away. Leave me alone. The Hive. Yes, it was a giant hive. Okay. With the arrival of Batman to the nation's television screen in 1966, Batmania soon followed. Pop culture went bananas for all sorts of costume crime fighters, no matter the flavor. Comics enjoyed a surge of popularity and renewed creativity. And the freshly fertile earth produced literally dozens of over-the-top campy characters. If a premise can be beaten into the ground, comics were there to do it. Take, for example, B-Man. His story begins as disgruntled mission control technician. Here we go, mission control technician. Barry. Oh, okay, the name. Barry E. Eames. No. Sabotages the landing of a remote-controlled rocket ship, intending to rob the sample-gathering space vessel of whatever wonders it has collected from beyond the surly bonds of Earth. Unfortunately, what Eames finds inside the vessel, oh good lord, are mutant space bees, which mercilessly savage him and drag his broken body to their distant world. Help! Help! I'm being dragged through space by mutant space bees. Help!
And unfortunately, to dismay, the only person that viewed him was dreadfully allergic to bees.
That's right.
You're on your own, bud. Sorry.
Let's see. Which mercilessly savage him and drag him spoken by to their distant world. Okay. After an interlude in outer space, Eames returns to Earth, decked out in technologically advanced armor from the Bee People's impressive new fall collection of comfortable casual wear for would-be space thieves. Why not? You know. The unstoppable Bee-Man occupies... That's right. The unstoppable Bee-Man occupies himself by stealing gold, radium, and life-giving honey. He stores the loot in his secret hidden Houston Astrodome-sized beehive headquarters. Because no one could find a beehive as big as the Astrodome anywhere. Particularly if they were suffering from giant hive blindness. Well, that explains it.
Giant hive.
We can't find a giant hive. I can't find a giant hive anywhere. I'm blind to it. Yes, Bee-Man begins his career as a super crook. By the second issue, however, he's turned himself around, pointing his supersonic wings, honey grenades, and nose-mounted stinger for the cause of justice. Shocked and unsettled by the Bee People's plans to enslave the minds of all humanity, you might even say he was, oh no, beside himself. Bee-Man turns on the Bee Planet's beautiful but cruel Queen Bea. And aligns himself with the Federal... Yes, that's her name. And aligns himself with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, officially serving as a superpowered defender of the planet. Bee-Man gains the additional honor of a position as a government operative. Yes. Oh, no. He's awarded special agent status in the one-man FBI. And he is held out. Bee-Man's career on the side of right was sadly abbreviated. Or should we say, abbreviated? No, we probably should not. After just two appearances, Double Dare Adventures was canceled, and Bee-Man was forced to turn in his wings. Oh, thank God.
All right, we got 6 minutes. You have enough time for the modern.
I hope so. Let me just find one. I'll go the first one I get here. Okay, one page 192. Okay, oh, good Lord, what the hell is this? All right, AAU Superstar. Huh? My supernatural powers tell me there's trouble afoot now. Created by Unknown. Debuted in assorted titles in 1977. Shoe Size. Kept a secret to protect his loved ones. Who was the fella in the tracksuit who gets a kick out of giving bad guys the boot? Who's the sporty guy with the shoe? With the shoes who give villains the blues? Why, it's the world's foremost footwear-based crime fighter, AAU Superstar. Appearing in a trio of ads that graced the back covers of more than a few comics in the late 1970s, AAU Superstar, well, you've got the joke now, was a shoe-themed superhero who defended humankind from the evils of sinister shoe-themed villains. Despite his brief time in the spotlight, he remains an ironic cultural touchstone for an entire generation of comic book readers. Full-page ads, designed to resemble comic book pages, were not in short supply in the 70s. Most famously, Hostess Brands recruited major superheroes from DC and Marvel, as well as characters like Richie Rich, Casper, and assorted members of the Archie Comics cadre to celebrate the company's sugary pastries and cakes, not only for their flavor, but for their effectiveness against supervillains. Lots of snacks might have a sweet, chocolatey taste, but how many can be used to foil the Penguin? The makers of AAU athletic shoes went this trend one better by creating AAU Superstar, their own pawn-happy, fleet-footed super shill, battling foes like the Dirty Sneaker, the Skull-Faced and Horn-Headed Sinister Soul, and the world-conquering Mistletoe, who fired missiles filled with toe main poison. AAU Superstar fought back with a combination of wordplay and fast footwork, shoe-based puns, raised the ads to the level of memorable high camp. The jig is up, Mistletoe, and so is the jog. The superstar declares, knocking out his foe with a well-placed kick. In my AAU shoes, I can run all the heels out of the world. Chasing down the sinister soul, superstar declares, hold your tongue. Oh, my God. Prompting the defeated foe to moan, I'm a total failure. T-O-E-T-A-L, failure. Facing down the at a disco dance contest, superstar admonishes his foe that this boogie contest isn't open to boogeymen. Oh, God. Pretty good repartee for such a straight-laced guy. What power of AAU superstar possessed were something of a mystery. Evidently, he's super strong, capable of kicking the Dirty Sneaker out of the Earth's atmosphere, for example. Otherwise, the canvas shod crime fighter relies on his supernatural powers, all engineered to promote the performance of AAU shoes, running quickly, jumping nimbly, deflecting deadly missiles, and, most important, repeatedly kicking bad guys in the face. And there's a full page episode here, which sadly we don't have.
Was this sponsored by Keds?
No, it's AAU Shoes. It's a brand. AAU Superstar flattens his arch enemy, the menacing Mistletoe. And it's a full page ad.
Imported by
Intermark Shoe Company. Wear AAU Shoes and be a superstar. Available fine department shoe and specialty stores everywhere. I remember getting comic books back in the day, and they had advertisements like that.
Well, that's what I was thinking of those Kids.
Right. They had other ones like that.
On a lighter note, someone really want to get revenge on the guy, we just found Scott Hall a new role to play. AAU.
AAU Superstar. Okay, anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Happy New Year. Happy 2022 to everybody. I don't know if we're going to be on next week, depending on how I feel after surgery. I'm having surgery on my shoulder, maybe my left bicep this coming Wednesday. DJ Texas coming up next on Dawn Radio.
Live.
Tell them
Dawn
Live,
Radio.
The new station.
Live. Yes. New website.
So go watch those. That's right. So go tune into that and go watch those superhero TV shows. Stream them, those superhero movies. Read those comic books. Read those novels. Do what you got to do. But tune in to Dawn Radio and Dawn Live. Embrace the dawn. Hopefully we'll see you next week. If not, tune in to Dawn Radio. The DJs are wonderful. We'll see you next time on Paragon Radio. And anything in closing you'd like to say, Mad Viking? Really good.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. There you go. Stay super until next time. Stay super. I got that out. Okay. Thank you, sir. You go and do D-Day Texas show. I'm going to go have some dinner, and I got some stuff to do.
Okay.
Oh, Bloody Wolf in the chat was saying, the pains are painful. The puns are painful.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
He's still in the chat and back, huh?